Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Looking forward to many more of those coming ahead. Open your Bible now to Proverbs 22 as we continue with our study. The outline is different from the title and the bulletin. That was a communication failure on my part. We are going to do what I was going to do, what's in the bulletin tonight is this morning, our duty to care for the poor. What it is in your way of outline for those who are new with it, I want to encourage for those who don't realize what's in front of them. You'll notice there the title and the text had all of the various references that talked about this particular topic in the book of Proverbs. We have learned our study going through Proverbs chapter 1 to 9. It was expositionally easy to go from one passage to the next. But when you get to chapter 10 to the rest of the book, it's broken up into several little proverbs that kind of scattered. And so what I have chosen to do is to try to account for every verse from chapter 10 to 31, but to catalog them and put them in the subject matter and give a kind of a composite portrait rather than hitting on the various theme. Just one little point when we get there, one verse at a time, we would not be done. Jesus will be returned before I get done with Proverbs if I did it that way. So we're collectively, I put all the verses in there, and for your ease, rather than having your fingers all throughout these verses in Proverbs, I listed all of the verses that are in the text in your, all you have to do when I call on it or mention it, you can go to the verse, and I got it numerically in order, so that is for your edification. What I have tried to do is look up every single verse, catalog them, try to look at the difference between a wise man and how they would do this versus a fool or one given to folly and had not chosen to go the path of wisdom that we learn all throughout Proverbs chapter 1 through 9, and then bring a summary of why this is vital and important, and you will see that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll go right into our message. Father, be with us this morning. The topic is a important one to you. You have made it clear through and through your word. We are to be people of compassion and to care for those who have been set back in a serious way. And yet we live in a world today where there's a lot of confusion on how to minister to the poor and the needy. And some of it is politically driven. Some of it is just people being confused to the will of God on this subject. So Lord, help us to gain wisdom and discernment and to fall on the side of taking wisdom's path. Let us not be on the other side. So, Lord, we pray as we work our way through, help us to understand what it really means to be poor, how we are to minister to the poor and the needy, and that we need to also understand that how you wanted to be involved and engaged in the life of those around us who are falling on difficult times for their lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, I want to simply say God had much to say to us regarding caring for the poor and the needy. We are never to oppress, defraud, or withhold from them, but always show compassion, pity, and kindness to them. God has ordained to love mankind through the means of his people. And this is strengthened by the commands, exhortations, and examples throughout the Scripture, both in the Old and New Testament. In our study of Proverbs, we have continually been introduced to the poor and the needy, but they are always in the background. For example, Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one pervert in his ways, though he be rich. We talked about that verse, but we isolated and addressed the integrity issue rather than the poverty of this person. Now I'm bringing the idea of poverty and the people who are poor and needy to the forefront, because Proverbs really does that. There are many words that are used for those who are poor and destitute. There are three different Hebrew words used for the word poor and their nuances. One of them is used 16 times, one 3 times, one 4 times. The word needy was used 4 times, the word afflicted 3 times, and the word oppressed 4 times. One of the Old Testament words that were used for the poor that wasn't in Proverbs, but was used as a root word from it, was used 84 times, and it was translated to mean to be humbled or to afflict somebody and their circumstances. It is also a word that means when you talk about the poor. In this particular Hebrew word, it was talking about looking on the poor in a spirit of condescension, looking down on them. Hebrew scholar said to browbeat them. The word poor would biblically understood in Proverbs in the Old Testament, it to be in dire want and lacking the basic needs. That person who had classified as poor are those who are impoverished or deprived of the necessities of life. Not want, necessities of life. They have been humbled by their circumstances. They have in that time resorted to begging and lean on to the mercy and compassion of others. The word also, other words like needy and afflicted were those who have been victims of oppression, abuse, exploitation, or have been defrauded in some way where they lost a lion's share of their wealth. When you look at poverty and when you look at the poor in the Bible, there are two ways to see them, and you need to understand the distinction. First group is those who truly have been ordained to be poor by the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:7, the Lord makes the poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. And one of the things that we always assume that it's always talking about is purely from a creator perspective, but it also addressed the idea of the providential, that is the God who make the person rich and make the person poor. How did this come about? This comes about with being born with a disability, having a birth defect, or an accident or injury that crippled or paralyzed a person, such as Johnny Erickson. We all know her story. Or some serious illness that had compromised your ability to work and to get out there and earn an income. You have to understand in the time when this was written, and by and large until the later part of the 1800s, it was always an agrarian society where you always lived and plowed and worked the land. Everybody had to do their part and take care of their land. But as the Industrial Revolution came and the cities and large cities and major factories came to the surface, things changed in that. But if you were physically unable to do things in an agrarian culture, it was a major blow to your economic ability to get money. Today we have so many different potentials with the internet and things people can do, though they're physically disabled and have a lot of different disabilities, they can still generate resources. Bear that in mind as we work our way through this. But listen to this language when the Lord was instructing his people in the book of Leviticus chapter 25 verse 35. It said this, if one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty. Notice that. Becomes poor and falls into poverty. It was like there was something that has set them back. They have fallen into poverty. Among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner that he may live with you. The thing that I have listed here, it basically they have become poor due to things beyond their control. The Lord has always warned and instructed his people that the poor will always be among us. Deuteronomy 15 verse 11. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you saying you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Even our Lord said in Matthew 26, 11, for you have the poor with you always. Proverbs 10, verse 15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. But notice this, but the destruction of the poor is their poverty. One of the things that when somebody has been struck with something that's beyond their control, an accident hit them, they are forever cannot do and generate the resources and wealth that they once were able to do. It said that the destruction of the poor is their poverty, that they are crushed by the day in and day out, sliding and slipping away to take care of one's basic needs and necessities of life. This is what we're talking about when we talk about the poor and ministering and caring for the poor. They're the second group called the poor. These are what I would call self-inflicted by bad choices. These are people who in the book of Proverbs, it said there's three things that bring a person to poverty based on bad decisions. Number one, in Proverbs 28:19, it talked about the company they keep. When you keep bad company, they can produce by their choices with that group and drive you to poverty. Number two, Proverbs 23:21, by wasteful and reckless living. You can waste your life and yet live for pure unadulterated vanity. This is what the prodigal son did. And then we have in Proverbs 10 verse 4, those who are lazy and who are unwilling to work. Proverbs 10 verse 4 simply said that he who had the slack hand becomes poor. So it is directly a result of bad decisions and unwilling to work. They are poor, self-inflicted. They won't get off out of the chair and off the couch and out of their bed to do what it takes to generate. What the Bible teaches and those that we are to help and care for are from the first group who are in dire need, usually because of circumstances beyond their control. To help the second group, though they're hungry and though they are needy, and I made a note, not wants, needy, necessities of life. Having cable TV is not a necessity. Having a car is not a necessity. Make life easier, but let's get real. Let's get it down to the bare bones, what the Bible teaches is real poverty and those who need to come and intervene and help. To help the second group, though hungry and in need, is to do, to help the second group through, though hungry and in need, is due to bad choices and choosing folly instead of wisdom to aid the lazy and the unwilling. In this group, group two, it by and large wrong and a sin. Yes, they're hungry. Yes, they're in need, but they won't do anything about it. So they're making it and forcing and twisting people and appeal, tweaking their conscience and their compassion to help. God said you don't help people who won't help themselves. Make it clear. Bible is really clear. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we are with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. You won't work, we won't help. You got to do it. Real clear, there are three reasons why it's a sin to help people. Number one, because God said if they don't work, they don't eat. That's simple. I just read the verse to you. Another reason is because it's a sin, because each person is to do what they can without being a burden on others due to their choices and lifestyle. And one of the hardest people to say no to is family. I have had to be in gut-wrenching situation when family had these dynamics and they asked, what do we do? That said, don't help. They will get bit. When they get hungry enough, they'll go to work. But one of the problems we have is, I'll work, but I won't work at McDonald's. I won't work there. I don't want to do that. Well, then you're not hungry enough. It's very clear. And the third reason is it's in because to help them when they refuse to provide for themselves and their own is to encourage and enable them to continue the lifestyle that put them there. And the Bible is explicitly clear. We are not to enable people with bad habits, enable them to continue in a course of action that is destructive. But we sometimes, all we see is the need, and it's easy to throw some money or some food in front of them and to soothe and solve our conscience for a temporary moment, and we haven't fixed the problem. When God gave the instruction to the people of Israel, it wasn't from a top-down governmental aspect. It was from the God working on the heart of every person within the country, within the nation, to have compassion and to get engaged and get involved. And what's it like? What's this man's story? What's this situation? How did this happen? Why did this happen? And to come alongside. It would build in a culture that it was a culture of shame if you were lazy. That's not the case. People actually like to try to make a career of living off the system today. Our government has made it easy. But we as God's people still have a duty to care for those who are genuinely in need. I see the panhandlers just like you do. Some of them I knew. Some of them I graduated with. But I have taken the time to know their story. Not all of them. When God makes our path cross, I try to get to know what their situation is. There isn't anybody I wouldn't be willing to help who wants to do their part. But if you're coaching, milking and sitting and jerking on people with compassion and mercy, that's wrong. That's wrong. So that's, there you have it. That's the introduction. You had to understand that context as we work our way through point number one, our duty to the poor among us. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 9. It says that he, and you can always, a lot of them are right here, in that in Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and verse 9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. So the idea of a generous eye, he is looking, he sees the need, and he wants to be generous and help them. Proverbs 29, verse 7, the righteous considers the cause of the poor. The righteous is observing, the righteous is looking, the righteous is making sure people are taken care of. God had always worked, had displayed and demonstrated his love through his people. Many a time when I've helped people, people say, why are you doing it? Because my God wanted me to. I represent him. Don't think highly of me, because if you really knew who I am, you wouldn't talk to me. But my God is the one who moved me to do this. Made me realize that my wealth and my resources is the way of stewardship, never ownership. Loose hands and let God have his way and to work through. The scripture, when I compile all of them that we're talking about on the positive aspect of our duty, it speaks to the fact that we are to show compassion, we are to show concern, we are to show mercy, we are to show pity, to be gracious, to show favor, and to do justice when they are unfairly treated. You don't always defer to the poor, because sometimes the poor is the self-inflicted thing. It's all about justice. If they're being justly dealt with, then we leave it. If they've been unjustly dealt with, you intervene. That's not right. He had the right to this or that or whatever the case may be. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 through 8, it said that when God was establishing and teaching and instructing his people just before they were to go over into the promised land. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 and 8 said this: if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates of your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. That's really clear. That was predicated when by the time we get to Proverbs, this is the foundation that's already laid here. You are not to be tight-fisted, but open-handed to help. But it was an interest, and let you think you're just about to freely give. A key word in that verse really sheds some light on what God expects. And that is the word in verse 8, willingly lend him sufficient for his need. Initially, like maybe some of you, I thought you just give and let him have it. But I wanted to look up what the word meant. The word land is exactly what it means. It's a loan. It is a loan. God intended the poor to pay back what they have borrowed. Now, there's other places where you give. You give freely and let it go. But here, this talked about lending to help. What you're doing when you lend instead of simply give, you're lending, and they know they have a responsibility to pay this back. But one of the laws that was built in is you never charge your brother, fellow Israelite, interest. If you give them $1,000, they only owe you $1,000, no interest. You do interest, you're in trouble. I will deal with you, the Lord said. So we have here is you lend them. In other words, this is a beautiful picture of a hand up, not a hand out. I will lend you what you need by all means. Give them what is sufficient to help them to get back on their feet and get going again. The two verses that I read that opened this point up shows that people who help minister to the poor are considered blessed. They are considered righteous, because that's what godly people do. They have compassion. They don't live for themselves. If I let go of this, I can't go do what I want to do. It's not about that. If you got a person in real need, it's better to minister to the need. Proverbs 14:21 says this: but he who hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. The word happy is the same word as blessed that we got in Proverbs 22, verse 9, that started this point. It is a very familiar verse throughout Scripture. Deuteronomy 15, verse 10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand to. In other words, give and give willingly and give previously, it said, with an open hand. Not grudgingly. Give because you want to, because the Lord will richly bless you whatever you do. Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. Would you not want those kind of promises on your side? When times of difficulty comes in your life, a major trial or tribulation? Could you paid it forward and ministered? The same word blessed was used in many other places throughout the Old Testament that spoke of key Christian living verses such as Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. We all know about that blessedness. Oh, how happy are those who stay away from the wicked, and they're delighted in the law of the Lord. And in the law he meditates day and night. Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Those who truly trust in the Lord throughout their life will be truly blessed. The Lord will not disappoint. How about Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Beautiful verse that teaches about the blessedness of the Christian life and blessedness of adhering to the law of God and living a godly life and living a life that trusted in the Lord. Just like all of those verses speak of a blessed life, that same blessedness is applied to caring for the poor and the needy. Such as Proverbs 19, verse 17, he who had pity on the poor lend to the Lord. And he will pay back what he has given. Proverbs 22, verse 9. He who had the generous eye will be blessed. That's our opening verse at this point. And he gives, why? For he gives of his bread to the poor. 29, verse 7. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. They don't care because the wicked live for self. It's all about them, but not the righteous. Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. We have always used those verses in dealing and addressing the abortion issue of our day, but it also addresses those in dire and difficult need. Now, I'll be honest with you, it is hard to really be in dire need today. My goodness. You can't go hungry in this country. Food everywhere, even if you steal it. But the point is, it was vastly different in those days. But we still have a duty to minister to those who are in dire need. Even speak to the Proverbs 31 woman in verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hand to the needy. So this Proverbs 31 woman is not only an immense blessing to her family, an immense blessing to her husband, an immense blessing to her children, an immense blessing to those around her. She is a blessing to the poor and needy. One of the distinctive features of her character. So in closing out this point, Psalm 82, verse 3, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Oh, may we defend, help, show compassion, love, and help people. Point number two, sin and neglecting to help the needy. In Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Here in short, it basically is saying this, you will not avoid God's justice claiming ignorance. I didn't know. Earlier I talked about the righteous or the wise, the understanding, care and look to the cause of the poor. Even in James 4, verse 17, him to know it do good and doeth it not to him it is sin. Sometimes we know if we're go into a certain place or go to a certain area that we know there may be some people in need and we don't want to deal with it. So we go a different way and claim ignorance. Don't be afraid to help people. Talk to people. Sometimes we use the excuse, I don't have time. That's tragic. Because sometimes that might be the very thing they need to have hope and encouragement. We are to be intimate. God has always used His people to be His hands and feet to show and display love. When we neglect to help them in a time of need, we disobey the Lord and we dishonor the Lord. When I compile all the verses on the negative side of this subject, we are not to despise them, oppress them, mock them, shut our ears or eyes to their plight and become cold-hearted to their cause, defraud or fleece them. Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Clearly, that can be on a horizontal or vertical level. You might get into a place that you'll be crying in need. People are not going to listen to you because it's just instinctive. People don't, you reap and sow. Or you cry out to the Lord and He's not going to listen to you. The whole concept of not ministering to the poor and the reap and sow process and principle is rooted in this. For example, Proverbs 17, verse 5, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Proverbs 22:16, he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. Who in the world is going to guarantee that poverty? Who do you think other than the Lord God Himself? Proverbs 28, verse 27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eye will have many curses. Who do you think is going to bring those curses? You will reap what you sow if you have a cold heart and you're cold-hearted toward the needs of those who have real, genuine needs. Sometimes the greatest need is not the food or the clothing. Sometimes it's just somebody who cares enough to just talk with them. One of the ways we can prey on the poor and the needy is by taking advantage of them, by defrauding or falsifying them in our dealings with them. It happens a lot. Everybody wants a good deal, and people a lot of times will take advantage of poor people who don't understand what's happening to them. For example, this is exactly what God used the prophet Amos to expose to the sin of Israel in Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Listen to this. He said this, hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail. Notice, you swallow them up, you devour them, you crush them. You make it so they don't succeed and get out of their hole. You make them fail. Saying, listen to this, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit? Let me break that down. When will church get over so we can go out and make money? When can we get done with all of our religious duties and responsibilities, the new moon, the Sabbath, so we can get about business and making money? And it zeroed in on taking advantage of the poor. How do you do that? The ephah is small. You give them a little and you charge them a lot. That the idea of ephah, small, the shekel, large, falsifying the scales by deceit. Now listen to this, verse 6. And that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. See the wickedness in that? It's all about money. I don't care about you. I want to exploit you. Now here's what God said for the very next verse. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Don't think that God is going to wink and just say, well, you know, this is not like adultery and murder and a lot of other things. God takes it seriously how you deal with people who have been battered, exploited, and crushed by the sinfulness of men. and we do nothing to give hope and encouragement and come alongside. If nothing else, sit alongside. Use the modern vernacular, hand them a cup of coffee or espresso or whatever. And talk to them. Treat them like a human being. So that illustration, just aim at the loan, and I have several others, but I was sparing. I thought this was suffice. God said, I will never forget their treatment of the poor and the needy, exploiting them, taking advantage of them. We may say we might not do it, but we may see or know of others that do it. But nevertheless, we are in all of the aspects, we're supposed to have compassion over the needy and the poor. Bring to the point number three. This is the why question. Why is our response to the poor important? It's real simple. Proverbs 14:31. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. And he who honored him, the Lord, had mercy on the needy. Here's another one. Proverbs 17, verse 5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. So we see here, our caring for those who are in need is a direct reflection of our relationship with the Lord. You cannot get around this. How compassionate you are to those who are in dire need and have a need of necessities. It's a direct relationship of your a direct bearing on your relationship with God. Oh, I love God. Oh, really? Proverbs 22, verse 22 and 3. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. This is the warning against again denying the poor their right. The idea of the afflicted at the gate, this is where a court would convene in the It was always in the days of antiquity. They didn't have a courthouse. They met at the city gate, and that's where they did court proceedings and convening, and that's where the poor and the needy got what they justly, rightly deserved, or they were taken advantage of. And clearly it said, if you oppress them at the gate, you afflict them at the gate, the Lord will come and plead their cause on their behalf. Isaiah 10, verse 1 and 2. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice, and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Did you catch the group of four? The needy, the poor, the widows, and the fatherless. Those are the most vulnerable people of society. Children who have no parent, a widow, a woman who had lost her husband, who was mainly the worker and the one who got the wealth. When this happened, it happened hard. How about these words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 25, verse 42 through 45? For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they will answer to him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. Then he will answer them saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. In other words, if you did not do it to the least of, and probably pointed to a bunch of people, if you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. When you don't care for the poor and the needy, it is a direct proof of unbelief. James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, And one of you said to them, depart in peace and be warm and filled. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. Make the statement. What does that profit? And then he makes this statement, theological statement. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have work, is dead. One of the greatest ways you can prove you have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are truly indeed a Christian, you minister to those who are in destitute of food and need. Because if you have faith that does not display itself in work, it's dead. For John 3, verse 17, whoever had this world good and see his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Oh, I love God, but you don't care about anybody who's in dire need. The question is, how in the world did the love of God abide in that person who won't minister? We are called to care for those who have falling on difficult times. In closing, I want to simply say this. I want to share the story. I was surprised to find this. This was, you always, whenever you're studying, prepare, you find gems and nuggets. This one I was totally shocked at. It had to do with Paul's last meeting with the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. You know the story. It's a tremendous story. This is when Paul with the Ephesian elders for the last time, and he gave them some parting instruction. And he gives them some great instructions about what to do in regard to church. And let me just bullet item down what he did. He said, I taught you the whole counsel of God and kept back nothing that was needful. You need to do the same. He had proclaimed the gospel. You need to do the same. You need to take heed as shepherd of the flock of God. Know then that when I leave, savage wolves will come and not spare the flock. They will speak perverse things and draw disciples away from the truth and the fellowship of the church to follow them. They could care less about their Christian life as long as they can get a following. And then he started turning and he said, I praise you to the Lord. And I commend his word to you because it is able to build you up and strengthen you. And then he reminded them, Paul said, I did not covet any man's wealth, any man's money. I provided for my own. I took care of what I needed to take care of. And in his final and closing word before they knelt and prayed together for the very last time, Acts 20, verse 35, listen to carefully. Listen to these words. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Did you hear that? The word weak is another term for the poor and the needy, widows and fatherless, the weak. And remember the word. Now, we all know what I'm about to say. We've heard of a lot over our years. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, more blessed to give than receive. That's in the context of meeting the needs of the needy. Not in some generic principle that, oh man, I need to get a blessing. Out it goes. It's in the context, don't forget the weak. In the midst of all of your working and laboring and shepherding, watch the weak. Pay attention to the weak. So in closing, beloved, let's love and care for those in need. May we be the arms and the hands of our Lord and to be instruments of hope to others who are crushed by their circumstances. Real, true love opens our hands and minister to those in need. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Do a work in our midst. Father, we know there's a lot of ways we don't see a lot of this happening, but we still do. And help us to have eyes and to be alert. how we can minister and come alongside, and who knows if opportunity ministering to the poor. First and foremost, when we minister to the poor, we did it as unto you. Secondly, it also sometimes can be a door opener to share the gospel and to share how God has changed our hearts from selfishness and to me-centeredness to love and to think of others and to have compassion. Dear God, we live in a world that's getting increasingly more hostile, mean-spirited, vengeful, angry. Oh, Lord, help us to love and display compassion in a real sense. May we honor and glorify you in all that we do. For your glory, in Christ's name, amen.